You. I want to talk to you on a podcast. I want to talk to you on a podcast. 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 Podcast.
That's a very aggressive introduction, Matthew.
It is. But it's Tom Matt.
I'm a little concerned now. Is there something I've done?
No, that was Gay Bar by Electric Six.
Oh, I did not recognise it.
The
I
word just thought Gay Bar replaced
you were,
with...
You were threatening me across the table.
Maybe I'll recut it and put the dung 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 dung.
Needed a stern talking to. I don't, do I?
No, not that I know of. Oh, why? What okay. have you done?
Thank you. That's what I was asking myself.
Yeah. Are you all right? You fine?
I was fine. A little bit paranoid now, but...
Other than that, you're good. Yeah. I see.
Can't complain. I'm playing a bit of Doom this afternoon.
Doom?
This afternoon.
Doom? This afternoon?
I finally got round to playing it.
This afternoon?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I think it's pretty good fun. Nice and fast. That's what, you know, gets me about this game compared to other first-person shooters is, you know, you move at the speed you normally would if you were holding down a run button.
Yes.
Also, it's very loose. Even the aiming feels very loose. The controls aren't where you expect them to be.
No.
You know, you're not looking down your sights down your gun. It's a very classic. I think you can look down your sights, but I didn't feel that was something.
You can, but you're right. You
yeah, I wasn't.
To. Yeah.
And how weapon select was different. Obviously, holding down a button, bringing the weapon wheel. I felt like, yes, I needed to change weapons occasionally, you know. Depending on the enemy and the situation, I thought that was a great mechanic. I think the whole thing is very well done.
Yes.
Yeah. I did feel, perhaps, and I mentioned this to you before, is this game a little bit shallow? Is there? But then I can see as the difficulty increases and ramps up, the emphasis on swapping and changing and surviving.
Yes.
The amount of creatures and monsters. I've seen you play the later levels. I can see this game is very fast paced and there is some strategy to it as well.
Yeah, it becomes crazy in the later bits. It kind of almost becomes like playing Quake because you're running and going up so many things at so many times and so many things are coming at you. It feels like you're playing
it
against
it flows.
People.
This game flows. It's very accessible as well. It seems to balance its elements very well.
Yes.
I don't know. It's good. I like it. I look forward to spending a little bit more time. I did feel, though, after maybe an hour or so of playing that I was enjoying it. I could keep playing it, but it wasn't grabbing me quite. I thought, this is great gameplay. I can enjoy playing this, but I wasn't like, I need to play this another hour. I was like, okay, that's enough.
I think Doom is one of those games that's kind of not so much like draws you in. I think it's one of those games that, rightly so, you can play a level and then you put it down. I think it's got a very arcadey feel to it, as I've previously mentioned.
Is that how you play the game? Did you play a level or two, or did you actually sit down and spend a prolonged period of time playing it?
Well, to start with, I did, but I mean, I don't think it's the kind of game that lends itself very well to that. And I mean, I also had Overwatch at the time.
Okay.
Which is a game I...
So you were going shooter crazy.
I was, yeah. I was shooting my tits off.
It's funny because I've been playing a lot of shooters lately.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I'm going overboard on shooters. Like, I need a change because on Thursday night, my usual gaming sessions, I play Destiny and Battlefront.
Wow. Okay. So Thursday nights with Gareth have gone from Mario Party and Mario Kart and Soul Calibur to shoots.
Well, give us the new Soul Calibur. I'll be playing that blooming every week. I will be playing the new Worms, however.
Yes. It's on the horizon,
After a conversation with Gareth, I pre-ordered it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you were told, I'm not buying your Worms. Fucking buy your own.
No, I was just testing the water. I'm going to pre-order it after the show.
Yeah.
The show? We weren't doing a show. We weren't doing a podcast like this. After...
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Parry. I know about your secret Thursday night podcast.
No, it's a gaming evening, should I say. And, So I pre-ordered Worms. So our Thursday evenings will be shook up somewhat.
All shook up.
Because, yeah. Despite that, though, I've been having a great time with both Destiny and Battlefront. Battlefront, I got the top score on one on cargo. That was, I made one kill but managed to deliver the cargo so many times. I was a top scorer in that game. And I find I've taken very well to cargo. I think it's because it's capture the flag, basically.
Yeah.
And all I do is leg it. I pick it up and I leg it back over there. So I'm good to running from one side to the other. But it's fun. I like it.
I had the option of picking it up for €15 in Germany, and I thought, no,
because you traded yours in, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Also, Destiny was great. I'm doing one of the later Taken King missions with Gareth, and we came up to against a pretty formidable boss. Also, you know, it's in Taken King, there's elements snuck in there which have make Destiny feel like a lot less linear than it used to.
Yeah.
You know, obstacles which, you know, provide a little bit of skill to, and then. Yeah, it's good. I really enjoyed it, and I really felt a great feeling of achievement when we actually took down this big robot.
Yeah.
Three of us just going in. You know, we tried lots of times to do it, but we didn't give up, and we made it, and I felt great. A bit tired the next day after a late night, but...
You're quite taken with it.
Taken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a cat who's playing.
We've got to watch
table.
Out for our podcast equipment. There's a cat on the loose, and he wants to get it off the table.
He does. He wants his voice to be heard.
Enough of me and my first-person shooters, Matthew. You did something very special this last week.
I went to the games convention in Germany.
Yes.
Where all of the games are.
Is it the games... Is it called Gamescom, isn't it?
It's called Gamescom, yes.
Because it's confusing. It's a convention. You expect it to be called
Gamescom.
Con.
Yeah.
Do you know why it's Gamescom and not Gamescon?
Das German, yeah.
Oh, really?
I assume so.
I just thought it was com because computers. And it sounds pretty cool. Gamescom. Sounds like that console.
The game.com.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tiger Electronic Gamecom. Handheld. Yeah.
Anyway, tell us about that, Matt.
It's a pretty big convention. It takes place in every year in Cologne to us English people. Köln to the Germans. It's spelled K. Accented O-L-N, as the Starbucks mug behind you, young Tom Parry, will attest to. And it is absolutely gigantic.
And you were there alone, or...?
I was there with my colleagues from work. We were all going there to have a look around.
Okay.
And experience Gamescom and also to see the Dimensions booth, which I did. And I saw Mr. T, someone in a big Mr. T costume.
I saw your photo
hey!
On the Twitter.
I wasn't there for anything like work related. I was just there to check things out and to have a look around. It was good.
I thought that was maybe a fan creation, but no, that was an official Lego.
That was an official
mascot.
Lego mascot.
Yeah, I thought, where
I
did they get the
graphics,
the assets to create that?
No,
yeah.
That's an official thing.
Okay.
But I went around. I've only previously been to something on the scale of EGX, which has kind of got a similar feel to it, the Electronic Game Expo in London, now in, like, Doncaster, right? It's not even in London anymore, because renting the Apollo is a bit expensive. But that is a pretty big convention area. This is, like, 5 or 6 times the size of that. It is absolutely gigantic.
Were you there for how long?
I was there for a day.
Just a day.
So I... had to try and fit in as much stuff as I possibly could.
It's tricky in a big event like that to get in everything.
Oh man,
but
like even with lines and stuff, like we were there on the press day, we were there on the Wednesday, which is the trade and press day, which meant the lines were shorter, but it also meant that getting near anything that was perhaps a little bit current for traditional press meant that you couldn't get anywhere near. Like I would really like to have tried PlayStation VR. Anytime I went anywhere near that, the queue was like 2 or 3 hours. Same with Mafia 3.
Oh, that's no good.
And, you know, when you're only there for a day, you can't really waste your time in queues.
You want to try and fit in as much as
you
want to
try and get as much as you can. Which is why I tried Titanfall 2 first, because there was literally a very, very short queue.
Is that because everyone knew it was going to be available for a download?
I guess so, yes. Unbeknownst to me, it was out on the weekend. We just played a little bit of it now, Tom, so you can even talk
more first-person shooters.
Yay! I went to it literally because it was one of the first booths I came across, and I was like, fuck yeah, I want to play Titanfall 2. And
why not? Yeah.
There wasn't really that much in the Sony area, to be honest with you, that I was really that, yes, I need to play
this
game.
So they were featuring it in the Sony area.
There was a huge thing in the Sony area. It was also very present in the EA area, but there it was only mouse and keyboard. Same with Battlefield 1, which is why I didn't try that.
Because so are they doing marketing it more as a PlayStation game
now?
No,
it was also available on the Xbox. You could have played it in the Xbox arena, but it was very prominent in Sony's hall, which is, I think, like Hall 8.
I guess they're quite happy to have it because it was well-received on Xbox.
Especially after the snafu that was the Xbox One exclusivity of it, and then it coming out in the 360, and I think they're kind of glad that it's on all formats now, perhaps. But I played a quick game of Deathmatch with a lot of Spanish developers. It was quite fun. They were all speaking Spanish and yelling at people and stuff, and I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And do my own thing, shoot some people, climb some walls with grappling hooks.
That's the new edition, isn't it?
No, Grappling Hooks has always been in Titanfall.
Oh, it shows how little I played the original.
Well, I played the original Titanfall to death, as long-time listeners of this podcast will know, and I think this is Titanfall improved. I can't...
Well, you'd better had be.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it seems to have a lot more depth to it. I know it's going to have a campaign and such, which will give a bit more first-person... single-player content, sorry, not first-person content. Naturally, it would. It's a first-person shooter. But... I honestly really like it. It seems to have a lot more depth. Seems to be a lot more systems to level, which was really kind of my qualm with the first Titanfall, is that you got to level 20, whatever it is, very, very quickly, and then you unlocked everything. Whereas this game seems to have Titan levels. It seems to have levels for you. It seems to have levels for your gear. It seems to be very focused in the loop of, hey, you need to play this game more and more to get the most out of it, which I'm totally behind, because it seems even the start weapons are balanced, which is my main issue with Battlefield 4. Had all that stuff to keep you playing and the incentive to drive you to spend hours in the game, but the first weapons, most like in most COD games, were generally really shit, and you couldn't really hold your own against someone who'd been playing for 20, 30 hours.
For me, it felt very much like Call of Duty, but had some elements of Destiny. And as I say, I can't remember the original Titanfall very well, but for me, I felt right at home with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it played light and controlled like you'd expect a game like that control. But I tell you what, when I got in Titan and let off the laser cannon on the enemy Titan, that was a very gleeful experience for me. And I actually haven't... you'll testify to this, giggle so gleefully at being able to unleash such carnage in a video game for quite some time.
And you've been playing Doom today.
Yes, but you release so much carnage in Doom, it kind of becomes every day.
But like, I think my main thing of, admittedly, I've only played like 2 or 3 matches at this stage. I think my main constraint with this game is still the fact that despite everything, despite the fact that you're in a Titan and you're doing all this stuff, I still don't really necessarily think I need to be in a giant robot all the time. I still think you're much...
No, well, as the game started off, I just thought it was felt like Call of Duty. Oh, so it's on foot, is it? When the Titans come into play, you know, I'd forgotten really how the mechanics of the game worked. Yeah. You get to a certain point, you can call one in. I was quite happy just jumping around as a human character or robot character. They all look kind of interesting, don't they? The characters in Titanfall, but... Yeah, sorry, as you were saying.
I don't think there's really that much need for you to be in a Titan. And I think this was kind of my biggest concern last time, is that I don't think they were really using the Titans, the advantage that they could have. Because, I mean, as you say, when you get in one and you pull off a laser thing, you're like, yeah, that was pretty cool. But I still think...
You don't need to be in a Titan to win the match.
You don't need to be in a Titan, even though it feels a lot better now, I think, to be in one. Like, even meleeing another Titan just now was fun.
It's such
you're like,
a rush,
yeah,
and there's,
I'm gonna have you.
Other than the original Titanfall, not much like it out there.
No, there isn't.
And to me, I was playing this, because I've been thinking about picking up Black Ops 3 for a Call of Duty-type game on the PS4, and now I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should just bypass that and have this, because this is something new. Reasonably new and different, at least.
Yeah, and I think I think it'll be a bit of a Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2 experience, where I think they laid the foundations in Titanfall 1. And I think this game will really bring it home and really be fun. However, I now have to debate any first person shooter I play in online multiplayer against, is it going to stop me playing Overwatch? and I don't know if it would.
Yeah, that Overwatch train keeps chugging along.
Man, I'm going to say this off the bat. Despite all of the things I played at Gamescom, and despite the fun I had and what I played, right at the very end of the day, we were supposed to meet up at our booth at 4:45 because we originally thought it shut at 5. So we were like, okay, we meet at 4:45. It got to the point where I really wanted to try PlayStation VR. And so I was in that hall and it was 3:15. And I looked and there was no way in hell I was going to get to try that in time, and the demo would be longer and I'd miss going back and then getting back to the hotel. So I thought, okay, well, what's around? What's got a short line? And I looked and there was Overwatch. I was like, oh, go on. Like, most things I've been going around and most things I've been playing, you get some free swag or something. So I'll go and play a bit of Overwatch. And it was the new map. It was the German castle, naturally, because it was in Germany. And I'm not kidding you, it was still the best experience of the day.
Wow.
Like, despite playing all of these new, interesting concepts and stuff.
What else did you play? I'm curious to find out.
Well, I think perhaps the second best game of the day actually is Gwent, which is the card game based on...
Not really a new thing.
The card game from The Witcher 3. You'd be surprised. They have done an awful lot to that game. I played it for all of 10 minutes because the matches of Gwent are very fast and you were playing against actual people.
Yeah.
So I didn't see any of the single-player campaign-y stuff they're putting in it or anything. I only got to play with the Nilfgaardian deck. But there seemed to be a lot of cool new features into that game. There seemed to be things like... They've certainly played a lot more competitive card games, I think, since then. Things like Magic Gathering and the like. And gone, okay, cool, what makes this tick? And perhaps even a bit of Hearthstone. Mm. And they've looked at the game mechanics and gone, okay, cool. We need some of this, we need some of this, we need some of this. And they've taken that into what was a great core concept of a game anyway, which is Gwent. For those of you who haven't played it, it's a collectible card game within The Witcher. Think kind of Triple Triad or that kind of ilk in a Final Fantasy game, where it's a game within a game.
Skystones.
Yes, Skystones from Skylanders.
Skyslanders.
Skyslanders. And you play it by, you have three rows, close combat, archers, and then siege weapons like catapults. And the aim of the game is pretty much you need to have the most scores in your rows, and so you build up your deck to have hero cards, which can't be destroyed because you can destroy cards or whatever. But the gist is you have three rows, essentially you need to put cards in those, they will add up to the highest number, you will win that round, it's best of three. They've done a lot of cool things with how Gwent works in this game. For example, you will have now, you've got vampire cards, which are essentially, it means on that card getting destroyed. So say someone puts down, you have a desolation card, which burns the highest level cards on the field. So if you have a six and they have a six, it will kill both your sixes.
All right.
However, in doing so to your card, it will then take it off the board and it'll come back as a stronger card. So it's almost there to die. Like you're putting it there as a better play of, aha, like surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can put like cows, which have zero. And it's just like, oh, well, you know, cool. There's a cow on the board. I'm not going to care about that. I'm still going to clear out your front row because I know it's not going to do anything. And then they've got surprise features to them. So like this cow that they killed brought a level 10 dragon on for me. And it was doing all these cool... Like...
And then the cow farts and the dragon fires its fire, exploding the methane.
No, that's not how it works. No. But
better if it did.
There's a lot of cool mechanics they've added to it that I saw through playing that. And a lot of, for those of you who've played Magic, they've kind of taken a lot of the things that make the blue color in Magic into the game, like Scry. So you get to look through your deck more to pick monsters and pull things out and
developed it, expanded it.
Yes, exactly. Right. Definitely a lot more than the base of The Witcher 3. And I mean,
well, you'd hope so if it's a standalone game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I honestly, I would have been totally happy just playing the game that was in The Witcher with new cards because it was that good. But they've added a lot to it.
And it works.
And it
doesn't ruin the game.
No, it 100% works. I really wanted to play more of it. I probably could have, but again, after I played two or three rounds against some dude from UB, I was just like, no, I'm getting out of here. I need to go and do some other stuff.
Hmm. And what other stuff did you do?
I played Rico, which took me about an hour to queue for. And I was like, okay, cool. I know this game's out quite soon. But it's Kaiji Inafune and Retro Studios, makers of Mega Man and Metroid Prime. I'll give this a go. And I'm a little bit disappointed.
Duff. What kind of game is it?
Well, it's a third-person shooter. Arcade-y in style. Perhaps the closest thing I could compare it to in terms of how the combat feels is if Platinum made Lost Planet, is kind of how I...
Well, that sounds tempting.
It feels arcadey, and the hook behind the thing is, obviously, other than having your companion, which when you press the Y button kind of does a devastating attack. It's a dog, it's like a spidery thing, there's other things, but in the demo you only had two of them. You have four color polarities. So it's a blue, yellow, red, green. And by using the D-pad on the Xbox controller, you switch between these. Enemies are color-coded, meaning the one you see a red enemy, you shoot it with the red. When you see a green, you shoot it with the green, blue, etc., etc. And you can do that, and that works pretty well. They've kind of taken in some of the Mega Man mechanics in the fact you've got a double jump and an air dash and stuff, so they're trying to do that, so it feels very fast, which is where the Platinum comes in.
Yeah, like Vanquish.
Yeah, kind of. Just not as exciting as Vanquish. Okay. You don't get to do the crazy, like, I'm going to shoot over the arena to the other side of the wall. Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, like a burst dash, like you get in any other game where you kind of zigzag back and forth. And
nothing groundbreaking, then?
Nothing groundbreaking, and nothing really fun, to be honest with you. You'd think with these mechanics and, like, them trying to make a Platinum-style game where it's all about speed, like, man, it takes a long time to kill these enemies that aren't really that imposing to begin with. Saying that, though, like, there was a guy playing it next to me, and he kept fucking dying, so maybe I just naturally took to this game.
Okay. But it's saying you didn't really enjoy it much. But it kind of goes like...
Yeah, it was just kind of like...
It fails then.
The mechanics of it didn't really seem that ingrained. And like, I think perhaps it put a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, the fact that I'd queued for an hour.
You expected something. Did you know what to expect?
No, not really. No. Like, I knew it was a third-person action game because I've seen the trailer from E3 this year.
Yeah.
But I went into it thinking, okay, cool, this would be interesting. Like, I like the previous people's work. I mean, you know, Mighty No. 9 wasn't that great, but I mean, Concept didn't make that game themselves. They just supplied the character design and stuff. And so I went in kind of a bit annoyed because I'd spent an hour queuing because it was only like 8 consoles inside to play it on.
Yeah.
And the guy who was there, one of the devs, spent 10 minutes talking us through, like, okay, well, you got to press this, you got to, like, it seemed
you
like...
You didn't need that.
No.
No.
And then when I played it for 10 minutes, and then like, okay, demo's over. And I didn't, like, within that time, I left a real sour note in my mouth because I'd not really got to do anything other than just shoot a load of enemies. And I mean, well, I assume there's bosses in that game.
Maybe you missed out on a big chunk of the gameplay. Maybe you just played a portion of it.
There was no depth to the combat.
Okay.
And like, the bigger enemies just took longer to kill.
Adventure exploration type game. It is a combat focused
game. It's got platforming in it as well. And the platforming wasn't really that good. So like, there was this section, and it seemed they said it's very early on in the game, and so you had to find this robot, kill a load of enemies, then take this robot to plug it into a thing, so it powered up this grid and it let things down from the ceiling, so you climbed up there and then you were jumping back and forth and air dashing between them. And like, a few times I fell because the air dash didn't really carry you as far as it perhaps should, and so like, even the platforming, like, even basic, like, there are two vertical lines of platforms, you need to jump between them. So, like, you shoot across the room, you jump to the next platform. You shoot across the room again, you walk under the obstacle, you jump across, you shoot across the room again. It just seemed really rudimentary, and like I said, it didn't seem that fun. Perhaps later on in the game, it gets a bit more to it, but it, from the sounds of E3, it's only like a 6-hour game, and I mean...
Okay.
That room didn't really give a good indication of it being a very deep experience.
Mm.
And that kind of makes me a little bit sad because I'm... It's like £30 or something it's going to be.
Oh, it's not a full price.
It's not a full price title. Which kind of leads me to worry in the first place anyway, because, I mean, I'll gladly pay.
It was sort of sold as like, whoa, this is a big game. This is a big deal. Of course, with the people behind it, you expect something big.
Yeah, it just feels a bit half-assed. Like,
okay.
I think maybe I'll pick it up, but it won't be a day one purchase, game. I don't think, unless there's nothing else around that out around that time. But I think there is. I think just like Last Guardian, and I think there's like fucking solid like pre-Christmas titles out around the same time.
Did they have King of Fighters there?
They did. Yeah, I didn't play it though. It was it was King of Fighters with a couch and a PlayStation 4.
Oh, saying that, actually, there is a demo out there, and I have played it.
I think it was exactly the same demo, so I think it was just a small thing. I played Sea of Thieves, though.
Aha!
And I can confirm, that is a good game.
Good. And, you know, I realised the other day, it's on Xbox One, isn't it, exclusively? Who am I going to play it with? But maybe I can guarantee you
I'm going to get it. I will definitely be picking it up.
Okay.
Also, the fact that all of the people who used to live in the old house with you, who kind of got you onto Destiny... all have Xbox Ones, so I'm hoping we can kind of convince that lot to play it as well, because that could be a good laugh.
Let's hope so, at least, you know.
So, it is what it is. Pretty much, we played the demo that most people saw at E3 with all of the crazy Twitch people playing it and going, I've fallen off the ship!
Was that exactly what it was like when you were playing it?
No, it wasn't. I played it with... there was a guy from Rare who, bless his little heart, was just like having to explain everything to everyone. And trying to keep the mood up.
But also, I've heard this game is quite accessible.
Yeah, isn't fucking very.
There's
like
massive learning curve.
No, well, you get on the ship, right? Like, so you start in the bay, and you go on your ship, and there are sails. Like, you have to pull down ropes or higher ropes to lift the sails, and, like, both of you have to kind of coordinate. One of you has to go to the left, one of you has to go to the right. But you click one button, sail drops. You click one button, sail raises. Mm. You can click the double sail to turn the sail, which then steers the ship a little bit. So that's real easy. Lifting anchor requires a few of you to walk around a thing to lift the anchor and a few of you to drop it, which is actually does some cool things. Like if you drop the anchor, suddenly you kind of do a sharp turn so you can kind of catch people by surprise. But there's cannons either side of the ship. There's a crow's nest where you can go up and you can take a lookout if you want. And then you, as a player, you have three items that all switch on the Y button. The first one is the ale, so you can like you can have some grog and you can drink.
And what? How does that benefit you?
It doesn't. It's just it's just fun to drink it, and I think maybe it gives you a limit, like a short boost of some kind. Okay. But I'd already drunk it by the time we got on the boat, so I didn't really experience it because I thought it would just refill itself. And the guy from Rare was like, "No, you can't really refill it. It's just kind of there as a nice thing. And when you die, you get another cup because it's a consolation prize."
Oh, okay.
You have a musical instrument, which is playing What Should We Do With the Drunken Sailor, and every character has a different musical instrument. So you like
you play the music instruments together.
I was playing an accordion, and I was quite having fun with that, just running around going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which I'm sure would probably get annoying, but it was actually quite fun and quite like when you weren't actually doing anything, you were like, oh, well, fuck it, I'm going to play What Should We Do With the Drunken Sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a plank of wood, and then when you get shot with the cannonballs come through the walls, you literally walk downstairs, you hold down X, and then your character hammers in wood.
Aha.
And it happens very fast.
Yeah.
And like if all of you just go, oh, shit, we've taken fire because you're sailing these ships. Mm. And so, like, if a ship goes on an island, you kind of got time to all run down together and patch the ship up and run back
up. But you still have enough people sailing the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah? You have some hands on
deck. Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, it sails itself. And, I mean, this was the basic thing. And the poster of the concept art seemed to show, like, krakens and stuff. So I assume there will perhaps be obstacles in the world that you will have to overcome.
Objectives, I imagine.
Yeah. But the demo we played was literally like, hey, you're all going to get together, you're all going to sink as many pirate ships as you can.
Okay.
And that's what we did. We sunk three pirate ships, And I had a good time just doing that. And yeah. I'm like, well, okay, cool. If there's going to be other stuff on top of this, add some actual and depth to it.
I think there is, yeah.
Then I think it's going to be good.
I think you're going to get to do all the parody things, aren't you? Go and go hunting for buried treasure. And
yeah, I hope so. Yeah. But like, this is the thing, right? So I played that, and then I went and played ReCore. Mm. And ReCore was actually the game. Like, it wasn't like a snippet of proof of concept.
No.
It was the actual game.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't that fucking fun.
Okay.
Whereas I played Sea of Thieves, and perhaps it wasn't the most mind-blowing experience of like, wow, this is the most fun thing I've ever played. But I could play that and go, there's some really cool things in here. Like, this is going to be a fun game to play with five people I know, especially if there's more depth to it.
Mm. Well, it's a must-have for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's without playing it. It's
a return to form from Rare. It's a good game. Other than that, played a bit of Yakuza 0. The new Yakuza game, purely because they were giving away hats that said "For the Player" on them, and I wanted a hat.
You got a hat?
I got a hat. It's behind you. If you look behind where the Pandora thing is, there's a nice white hat against the wall.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a summer hat.
Because I turned around, I saw a birthday.
No, it's not. It's not the birthday cone. It's kind of a trilby looking summery hat. You know, people wear on the beach playing ukuleles. But it says PS4 and "For the Player." But I wanted one of those for the fuck of it because we kind of got into competition, me and a few of the guys, of collecting as many lanyards as we possibly could. And I got the hat and I was playing a bit Yakuza. And I've never played the Yakuza game before, as I've mentioned several times in this podcast.
Yes.
Man, that fighting is completely over the top and really, really fun.
Yeah. Well, I've only played the first one, but I know the fighting that was pretty over the top.
Yeah.
You know, picking people up and throwing them into things. That was a big mechanic. It's like a wrestling game for
yes,
me.
Yes,
the same
almost.
Kind of thrill.
Yeah, yeah.
As one of the, yeah.
I was a dude with an eye patch, and three thugs came up to me, and I like ran up one of their chests, like, but dropped onto his shoulders, and then like flew through him with my legs. Fucking insane.
Yeah, because that I said, not play one since the first, so they've probably developed in their combat since then.
But yeah, it was absolutely mental, and I only played it for like 10 minutes because it was in the middle of a mission. I couldn't really reset the demo, unfortunately.
Okay.
And so I was just playing a little bit, and I was like, okay, this has piqued my curiosity perhaps a little bit more than, I want to play the
and
Yakuza
it might
game.
Make you play the one you've downloaded.
I'm definitely going to sink some time into Yakuza 5,
massive
I think.
Download, that one, I noticed.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. How big?
20 gig?
Oh, fuck, I've only got 4 gig on my
something?
PS4. PS3.
Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm just used to PS4.
I need to add that to my library before it goes away, and then I need
it's
to sort
many,
it out.
It's many, many gigs worth there. Yeah.
Many gigs, okay. What else did I play at the Gamescom? I played some kind of rhythm game that I can't really talk about now. Maybe I'll talk about next week because I don't remember the name. Because
did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's
it
one
was,
thing.
It was kind of an Amplitude-style thing. You were flying through a prism, and by pressing the D-pad, you would rotate the prism, and then you would press the buttons in time with the rhythm.
Like Tempest.
The music. Kind of a little bit like Tempest, but like it was Avicii playing. Like, you know, like house.
Yeah,
trance
I know what game you're talking about now, because it was a big Avicii collaboration thing, wasn't it? It was like it's like his game.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty good. Yeah. I have no idea what the name is because the kiosk name was completely wrong, and I saw that game on PSN earlier. I can't even remember what fucking game that was, but you're a cube in that game. It kind of looks a bit like Bomberman Inversion or something like that. But that's not the flying game I played. That was really fun.
Oh.
I played with Farm Simulator 17 because my colleague Dara loves tractors and he wasn't there, and so we wanted to just feed some chickens and ride some tractors on his behalf. And I played it for all of 10 seconds, couldn't figure out what the fuck I was doing. And he was also in German. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm done with that. I fed a chicken. I left it. And
I fed a chicken. I left it.
I think
fantastic.
Pretty much my highlight of Gamescom, to be honest
with
you.
Wow.
There was a huge indie area. I didn't get chance to go there because it took so long to queue for ReCore and so long to navigate between these massive halls that I couldn't actually get there. I'm trying to think if I played anything else. Honestly, I don't think I did. I spent most of my time around the Microsoft booth because Microsoft had a lot more games on show than anyone else. EA, like I said, had Battlefield and a few other bits, but they were on PC, so we didn't play those. They had the new FIFA game there with the story mode that Macaulay played and said was quite good. It was very interesting to see what they were doing with that. So maybe if we get to this stage in the year and FIFA 17's at like 100 krona or about a tenner, maybe I'll pick that up and have a look what that's all about. But all in all, it's a pretty good place. Weirdly, though, at the end of the day, naturally, as I do, I was looking for some gaming paraphernalia to take home. Plenty of PlayStation bags and Blizzard mugs and all of this kind of stuff.
You didn't get any of them?
But no video games. Shitloads of like statues and like anime lady pillows that you could kutch up to in the middle of the night. Yeah. But no video games.
Anime merchandise.
Yeah, lots and lots of anime merchandise. Yeah, for example, this giant Totoro bag that I got for Martha, my girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Lots of cool anime shit. But that's not what I was there for. Lots of board games as well. And I literally wandered around the entire hall. I couldn't see any video games. And I was like, okay, it's weird. This is the same at EGX, in all fairness.
Yeah.
And then I found one stall with retro games. And I said to the guy, I was like, do you know you're the only person here with games? I said. He goes, yeah, well, technically speaking, he goes, we're not allowed. And he goes, I thought, fuck it, I'd risk it. And I was just like, okay, cool, I'll give you my money. So this guy literally had, you ever been to a British supermarket? You know the things they have bread in? the plastic trays.
Yeah.
He had those. And so he had lots and lots of plastic trays.
With
full
bread.
Of video games.
Oh, video games.
Not bread. full of video games. And they'd obviously been in a loft or a storage locker or somewhere because they were pretty dusty, some were pretty grimy. Like, I think they may have been the guys, to be honest with you.
Mm.
But, there was like one of each like solid title. So, you know, you had your Resident Evils, you had your Zeldas, like big games.
Uh-huh.
And they were horribly, horribly overpriced.
Oh. Mm. Tut.
For example, I looked at Minish Cap boxed for the Game Boy Advance, 80 quid.
What?
Or 80 euro, sorry, not 80 quid, but like that's still like 60 pounds.
I downloaded that on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 7 through 9 were like 80 euro, and there was lots of stuff that was very, very common. Resident Evil, the first one for PlayStation, was like 40 euro.
It makes
euro
you glad if you've got a reasonable games collection featuring some of these classics. Because nowadays, if you wanted to track them down, if people are
boxed Pokemon games in German for like 100 euro and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, man, these prices are actually pretty fucking steep.
Mm.
And so I admittedly, I went there first of all in the morning and I picked up some Game Boy games and the guy was like, oh, well, I got loads more, but I haven't set up yet because it was the first day for traders. And so I picked up some Game Boy games and I picked out 6 Game Boy Color games, Uno.
Unboxed.
Yeah, unboxed, just carts. Uno. And then there was 4 like German exclusive games, mostly Infogrames stuff of like German IPs. And
what is a German IP?
I honestly, I don't know the bloody names of them because I've seen them in Vienna and I've seen them in Hungary and where these German like produced kids cartoons are.
So it's like Pixelina is to Denmark.
Yeah,
or
kind
the Scandinavian
of. It would be the same thing as like, you know, if they made a Gordon the Gopher game, example. God, I'm sure
there must be.
On that
I bet there's one on the Amiga.
There is
or
definitely one on the Amiga. They were going to make an I told you, right, they were going to make an Ed the Duck game for Game Boy and they scrubbed it. And apparently there's a prototype out there somewhere and it's never come to light, which is a shame.
Otis the Aardvark.
Yeah.
But he never got a game.
No, hopefully not. Hopefully a Flash game and that's where he belongs, in Flash hell. I picked up a lot of these games and they're not very good games. They're
were
in
they
German
good
like and the guy was like, I picked up these 6, so like I said, Uno, 4 German IPs.
How much for these, mate?
I said, oh, how much are these? He goes, 40 euro. Just like pulling figures out of the air.
Yeah. For all of them.
And I was just like,
how much were the worth each, did you think?
Not that much.
No.
Like, Game Boy Color games is not really a market for currently. I wouldn't really pay more than like 2 or 3 quid for those particular carts, let alone 40 euro. Like, it's more than 5 euro a piece, and I wasn't going to do that. And so the sixth cart that I have not mentioned yet was actually a Syntax cart.
Those of you
who have seen the Boyographic channel that I have on YouTube, they are the people that made Harry Boy. They are the people who made King of Ring.
Yes, you have told me.
And the people who generally make really, really, really bad rip-off license games and translate them to horrible
English.
I'm
quite excited about finding this one.
I did, because I looked through this entire rack of Game Boy games, and I'm literally talking like a meter-long tray with
bread tray, remember?
No,
this was not a bread tray.
This was wood. Like, sorry, all of the plastic trays were like PS1 games or PS2 games and stuff. And so I looked in this gigantic, like, meter long tray full of Game Boy games, and out of that entire tray, like, there was no Game Boy game for the original Game Boy that I needed, none of the like last 30 or so American titles. And so I was like, oh well. And I saw this one, and I was like, yeah, boy, because not only was it Star Wars, but it's Star Wars Episode II, Battle of Clone Tumans is the title of the game. This English treasure, as it is called, treasure with a J. And so I saw it, and the guy kind of looked at it, and was like, I have no idea what the fuck that is. And that's where I think maybe the 40 figure came from.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, well, he doesn't know what this is. So, and I threw a lot of the other games of Pom Fete or whatever is some kind of weird puppet.
Chips.
No, there's this weird puppet character that's kind of like Pinocchio in Scandinavia and Germany. And I threw like all of these crappy games. I was like, well, this is a terrible German IP that no one's ever going to care about anyway, and I'll probably be able
and
to pick up a cheap
don't.
Later. And so I got Uno. I got one of these German games and this Star Wars game because I wanted to kind of conceal that I really wanted that one. So he's like,
clever.
He goes, €20. I was like, well, yeah, go for it, because I want this one Star Wars game. And I thought, well, knowing my luck, if I pull the Star Wars game out on its own, it's going to be like €15 anyway. So I took it at 20.
Okay.
Took my lumps. And then he was like, oh, well, you know, if you come back later, we've got more stuff. And so I did. And there were lots of people around this store, like swarming it.
That is good, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, these are games journalists, some people who make video games for the most part. And yeah, they were all paying like £40 for Resident Evil and like £50 for Metroid Prime on the GameCube.
What world
do we
live in?
And I was looking at them, and I was like,
Go CX.
I was just looking at them. Yeah. I was like, man, I know like video games on continental Europe are more expensive, but this is kind of a piss take. And they were getting super excited at finding Metroid Prime, for example. And I was just like, man, you guys haven't got a fucking clue. And so I walked around the stall then looking, and there was like, you know, there were noticeable gaps in the Game Boy games and stuff. And I was like, well, someone's been through this and probably cherry-picked good stuff by now. And then I looked, and the first thing I saw in the GameCube thing was a GameCube kiosk demo. I was like, don't see one of those very often. I'll have that. And then I turned to the pile of Saturn games, and the first thing on top of the pile of Saturn games was Three Dirty Dwarves. And I was like, that's probably going to be ludicrously expensive with all the rest of the stuff on this store, so I put that in the pile. And then I saw a Game Boy SP headphone jack.
Yeah, never see them.
Because much like the new rumours of the iPhone, the Game Boy Advance SP didn't come with a headphone jack, which means if I play it on a plane, I'm generally playing it without volume, which is a bit of a shame. And so I was like, well, this is new. Like, I opened it, and it was still in the little baggie and stuff. The box is a bit tatty, but I was like, I don't fucking care about that anyway. I never see these things. And all the Game Boy SPs I've bought over the last, like, five years, I've never got one of these. Fuck it, I'm having this. Yeah, €10 marked on the box. I was like, right, okay, cool. I'll have it. I don't mind. It's probably about what they are on eBay for an aftermarket one that isn't boxed, so I'll get this. Look then, and there was a few other bits and bobs, like a few nice Game Boy Advance titles, like Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls, that I picked up out of curiosity of like, well, this is probably going to be ludicrously expensive, but I haven't really spent any money today. I'm going to get one thing that I wouldn't be able to get anywhere else. And so I picked these up, kind of in my heart of hearts, that, well, I'll probably end up getting this Game Boy Advance adapter and maybe this Final Fantasy game. Because these other two things are going to be silly expensive.
Okay.
And lo and behold, I put them down. I was like, oh, how much are these each? And he goes, well, you know, he says, this is 10, he said, for the Game Boy Advance thing. He picked up...
€10.
€10, yeah. He picked up the kiosk demo, kind of looked at it, didn't really know. 10. Picked up Three Dirty Dwarves. goes, 10, and then picked up Final Fantasy and goes, 55. And I was like, well, you couldn't shove that very common game up your ass. I'll take the other 330 euros. So, yeah, I did that, and I skipped all the way to the car park.
Well done, Matthew.
Yeah, and then I bought a Gundam. Admittedly, the copy of Three Dirty Jobs is a little bit scratched, so I'm hoping it works. I haven't had time to test it out yet.
Okay.
But there's nothing that isn't just surface-level scratches.
Yeah, I've always been curious about that game, actually, I first saw it in one of them Sega Saturn brochures.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a side-scroller that is a bit crude. Looks like it could be good. I heard someone talk about it on some podcast the other day as a spiritual successor to something. I can't remember what the hell that game is. But I'm
not Lost Vikings. So I don't know why I always lump those two together, because that's more of a puzzly type.
Yeah.
Cooperative.
This has got D&D involved in it and everything. Like some kids get kidnapped while playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
They inadvertently summon some monster, and then they D&D characters who are dwarves.
Well, it sounds like fun, that.
Good. Yeah, three-player co-op. So we'll have to get into that at some point.
You need an adapter for that.
Well, I mean, you know, for the two of us, it'll be all right.
Mm. True.
Apparently you can switch between the dwarves as well on one of the buttons, kind of Secret of Mana style. Uh-huh. And you have no lives, except if all three dwarves are knocked out at once, then it's game over.
Sounds like a Tom Matt attempt to me.
Yes, for me too. But yeah, it looked good, and... Yeah, as copies of that game sell usually over the region of about 200 quid. I was like, yeah.
They don't, do they?
They do
indeed. So that was how good of a score it was. A
very good score. Much so I'm part of a retro gaming pickup thing with a few online friends on Facebook, and people were swearing at me for it. So you always know you've done good when you're getting people swearing at you.
Mm.
Sorry, Paul. So I look forward to playing that. And that was pretty much Gamescom, to be honest with you. Huge place, very cool stuff going on.
Would you
on.
Go again?
I would love to, and I would love to go for a few days.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, like, there was so much stuff. Like, I was a fucking ukulele was there. There was so many cool things there. Night of the Woods was there, like, in the indie pit space that I took podcast equipment for. I literally lugged all of this around with me all day.
But you didn't get the opportunity.
But I didn't get the chance to do it because it was just so big and so and obviously you want to get food, I want to obviously like interact with my colleagues and chat with them as well, that getting there to actually get in and see these stuff would have been a pain in the ass. There was also a cool retro area there with loads of cabs and loads of rare things, and didn't even get a chance to go there. I ran past there because there's a Facebook group and a website I follow called consolevariants.com. And they were doing a display there of all the N64s. So they had every colour of N64 there in a big display cabinet, as well as like the history of every fucking handheld device to play games ever made, other than like Tiger Electronics, in one cabinet as well. And that was really cool. But my phone had died by that point, so I couldn't take a picture. It sucks. But so it goes. But I would love to go again, Tom Parry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should go next year, I think.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yes. What else have you been buying and playing, Tom? Because that took an awful long time to
explain. That was great stuff. I really enjoyed hearing about that. My stuff's going to sound kind of dull in comparison. But what I've been playing, always on Pokemon. On my second team, my goal was to get them up to a level where I could take on the Elite Four with them.
Yeah.
You know, I gave myself that little task after doing the main game and everything. So now I'm just playing through the Elite Four with a new team I want to beat there. And, you know, I probably put together another team after that.
It's just how I keep going. Yeah.
Until the next Pokemon game comes out.
Won't be long. It was there. I couldn't get near it, though. Sun and Moon.
So Nintendo had some representation.
Nintendo had a huge stall. Yeah. I couldn't get to play fucking... Breath of the Wild.
But it was there, playable.
It was there. The only way you could get it, other than being actual press and having an appointment booked with Nintendo, was if you won a tournament.
What did you have to win?
The tournaments were Mario Kart, Pokken, or...
Smash Brothers.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm all right at Mario Kart, but like you and Austin are much better than me. So I was like, if you're in a Mario Kart tournament, I'm probably going to get beaten. There's no Splatoon. If it was Splatoon, I would have fancied my chances.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a huge Splatoon contest going on, but it wasn't to win entry to Zelda.
Yeah, the only thing I could have maybe stood a chance at would have been Mario Kart. Yeah. The other two,
I think you would have been all right at Mario Kart, but the other two I definitely couldn't do.
Speaking of racing games, I played Ridge Racer Unbounded. I finally got around to playing that.
Okay.
I had to make sure my PlayStation was disconnected from the internet in order to do so.
Right.
Because the game is no longer online enabled.
Oh, that's
and it tries to do something when it starts up to connect to the servers.
Yeah.
And it can't. Oh. And so instead of just realizing that, it doesn't. It just stops. So I had to make sure I was offline.
I've actually heard there's a similar issue with Grow Up, which is the other game I purchased, where apparently there's some friendsless shenanigans that cause it to crash on boot if you're online. I'm not sure if they patched that out, though. Sorry.
I can say that Unbound is pretty cool. It's, you drift to build up power, and then if you build enough power, then you can charge into other cars. It sounds like Burnout right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
You can take them out. But you can also charge through scenery. There'll be shortcuts, and only if you've got that amount of power can you break through a wall and take a shortcut.
Okay.
So I like that about it. The drifting itself was different from Ridge Racer, other Ridge Racers, and I know the game has been criticized because it does something different.
Yeah.
It's fine, I think it just takes a little bit of getting used to the drifting, but I think that's a pretty good racing game, actually.
That's cool.
I can recommend it. A game that I've long been curious about and can now confirm is what I thought it was, is 3D Dot Game Heroes.
Ooh, really? Did you pick it up?
Yeah, they had it in GameStop.
I have that game, I haven't played it.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. It's Zelda. It is Zelda.
Really?
That's about... But Zelda with... It knows what it is. It knows it's a parody. It kind of has a little bit of fun with that idea. But the gameplay itself, there's nothing, parody about that. It's good, solid Zelda gameplay.
Is it online at all?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of, anyway. But... the unique feature is you've got a massive sword.
Okay.
But you've not always got a massive sword. It's only when you're fully powered with enough full health that you get to use this gigantic sword.
Okay.
Which is quite funny. You get the boomerang as well, power up in the first dungeon.
Yeah.
First dungeon is the grass temple.
Okay.
It is totally Zelda, but it has a unique visual style. When you're out on the field areas, the distance, the foreground's in focus and in the distance is blurred, so it gives this real effect of depth.
Okay.
And it begins by saying that everyone's got fed up with living in a two-dimensional world, and the king then decrees one day that it will now be a 3D world that we live in.
It looks a bit like Minecraft, though, right? Like
it looks, yeah. The build-up of the characters ends up being these expanded pixels, extruded pixels,
yeah,
to create these Minecraft-looking like characters. The storyline itself is very Zelda. There was once a warrior who defeated an evil magician who then... it's the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
You are now the chosen one to do the same thing that the old warrior did to defeat.
Maybe I'm going to have to go play a bit of this tonight. It was one of those games I got gifted a couple of weeks back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm going to have to give that a go.
Yeah, so recommend that. Basically Zelda, but with a little bit of a twist.
Did you go into GameStop today or over the last few days?
No.
Because they're remodeling GameStop.
Okay.
So there are no longer racks. There's just like... bins, almost like dump bins full of games now.
Sound fun.
Where you flick through them because there's so much merchandise on the walls that's taking up most of the space.
Oh, I noticed that half the store was merchandise now. It crept into the middle of the store
and
where it's only on.
The middle of the store is now the counter. So, like, all of the walls are now covered in merchandise and the counter is in the middle.
Ooh.
There's no Vita games.
Oh.
They have no Vita games.
They still have Wii U.
They still have Wii U. They still have PSP games and, like, other old games.
Why did all their Vita games go?
I don't know. I'm kind of a bit gutted, to be honest, because there was a few things there I was still wanted, but...
Speaking of Vita games...
What have you been picking up, Harry?
I downloaded Severed.
Yeah.
It was on sale.
I've been wanting to get that myself.
Okay, so Severed is like a first-person sort of dungeon crawler where you occasionally stop and defeat enemies by slicing on the screen.
Yeah, made by Juicebox, the people who made Guacamelee.
So far, there's not that much to it, at least. I played it on a bus journey into work.
Yeah. It's on the iOS as well now.
Yeah, it's pretty simple concept. Nice visual style. You can parry attacks by, if you see the opportunity and enemy's going to attack you, there's this thing that flashes and says it's going to attack you, then you swipe towards that and you can parry it, and then it gives you an opening so you can just swipe on the screen. The longer the swipe, the more damage you do. Sometimes you'll get an enemy behind you as well.
Yeah.
So you have to turn. And then also you've got a little symbol in the corner that shows you how close the other enemy is to attacking you. So it's a bit of multitasking. Exploration, yes. And the creatures you meet are really interestingly designed and such. If you can trigger some sort of focus ability, then you have the ability to chop off their limbs and collect them afterwards.
So, like, how does it work? Is it kind of like an on-rails?
No,
like...
you walk through rooms like a dungeon crawler, but it's not consistent. Sort of like once you exit a room, then it kind of fades out and fades into the next room.
Yeah, okay. Because I'd always kind of imagine it being like a House of the Dead style experience where, you know, character would like move on rails and then you would stop and then monsters would come out.
There's a mini map
and
you can see each part is split up, each room is split up on the map so you can see what rooms you haven't explored.
Yeah. And are you then moving by kind of like tapping into the room or
No, you move on forward on the stick and move into the room.
Fuck that it must be digital analogs on iOS, right? Like,
How do you do, the move, I guess that's how you do
it. Yeah, because that's why I assumed it was on rails.
Move into each room. And then, of course, you collect items to get through sealed doors.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Can't say it blew me away, but it's a unique experience. There isn't really, I can think of anything quite like that. It's a very simple but good concept.
There's a trailer on the old iPod.
Did it set
store.
My world on fire? No, but it does look very nice. It
seems like you move around still on the iOS version as well. I wonder how they do that. It must be digital analog.
So I think it's exploration and combat. I could see the combat perhaps getting a bit boring.
Yeah. Visually, though, good.
It's nice. The colours are nice. I can't comment on the music because I had the sound off on the bus, so
that's a shame.
I don't know what it
from
sounds
what I,
like.
From what I've heard, the soundtrack's pretty good.
Okay, then I must...
From what I heard even then, just a second ago, that sounded quite like a nice plinky-plongy piano.
Yeah. Also, I have picked up J-Star's Victory Versus.
I saw that on your PS4 yesterday.
Yeah, that's actually surprisingly good. I wasn't sure if there'd be any sort of depth to the combat, but it's quite a unique experience because it's like third-person perspective in a big arena. You've got teammates.
Yeah.
You can order them to do things. And then you're fighting against another team of, you know, popular Shonen Jump characters.
Yeah.
We've got Naruto characters and Luffy from One Piece, or Luffy. I don't know One Piece at
all.
Luffy,
I think, yeah.
But it's also a franchise I know next to nothing about.
Have
Dragon
you ever
Ball's
tried to watch One Piece?
No, never tried to watch One Piece.
I have, and I didn't really like it, but something tells me that you would.
Oh, okay. Because I really like Naruto. I didn't think I'd like Naruto, but I think it's...
Because Naruto's really good.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of One Piece, and I apologise to anyone who likes One Piece, it just seems really wacky for the sake of being wacky, and that's not kind of what I want in my anime. Especially if it's showing kind of, I want to be stronger than everyone else.
I think it'd be interesting if it was actually substantially different than a lot of anime.
Well, it's kind of got an Ultimate Muscle vibe to it from what I saw.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see your thoughts on it, because I think I think you would either really like it or really, really hate it. Whereas I kind of went into it going, oh, I don't know how I feel about this before watching
it. I might have to check it out. But J-Star's Victory Versus is enough depth to make it interesting. Also, there's some sort of story mode where you sail around in a ship, so there's a bit of exploration there. And then you find islands and do little tasks. And I actually liked it more than I thought I would.
Okay, cool.
But out of curiosity, basically.
Yeah.
Retrograde is a PlayStation Plus freebie at the moment.
Yes.
It's good. It's not what I expected. It looks like it's going to be a side-scrolling shooter. It's actually a rhythm game.
That's cool.
Where at the beginning of the game, you defeat the boss, and the rest of the game, you're going backwards through what happened to get up to the boss.
This was released on the Xbox 360 to be used with the guitar?
Was it now?
I think so.
The idea is you have to...
I don't know why I'm high-pitched.
...suck up the enemy's attacks or your lasers, I forget.
Yeah.
So as the lasers come towards you...
And that's why they're bars, because you're supposed to hold down the Guitar Hero buttons.
Yeah. And then the other thing, you've got to move up and down to avoid the shots that are coming at you. So you're sucking up your own lasers and then avoiding the attacks from behind.
Yeah.
So you've got these two things to focus on. And the music's really good, really synthy, kind of catchy. Yeah, and you get a power up at one point, you hold down a button, you can, I've forgotten what it does. Anyway, it's really good.
Yes, this is the game I was thinking of.
Surprisingly, I found it difficult to put down.
That's why it looks like that, it's because it was using the Guitar Hero controller.
I can see that working pretty well, yeah. And yeah. I guess you'd strum to go up and down.
Yes.
Yeah. And then press the... Oh, yeah, I'd like to play that with a guitar controller.
I think you probably could. You haven't got one with your PS4, though, right? You
would PS3 I'm playing it on, and I have got one on my PS3.
You should give it a go.
But not here in Denmark. So you give it a go. Haven't you got one?
I have, but it hasn't got a USB. Unfortunately, the dongle was missing. I've got Wii U ones. Oh, Wii U ones. Yeah. Well.
Good game. Download it. If you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, it's free on PS3.
Yes, I will pick it up.
And you told me last week to play Tricky Towers.
Yes.
I have. And
bloody good game, isn't it?
Again, hard to put down. I know I did atrocious when I was playing it last night.
I felt sympathy. You notice usually when you're playing bad games, I will laugh. I did not mock you playing Tricky Towers because I know how hard that game is.
But I like how it mixes it up. So you're not always doing the same thing.
No. There's
different challenges. And each one is fun. And yeah, there's a great puzzle aspect to it. Once you get it, it's really good. I think at first it's like takes a little bit of getting used to understanding how it works. But yeah, you mentioned it on last week's podcast. It's sort of like Tetris, but not like Tetris. It kind of takes that concept and mixes it up a little bit. Yeah. Makes it feel fresh.
Yes.
So check that one out.
You should chickity check it out before you rickety wreck it out.
And I can quickly just go through what I bought.
Yeah, go for it.
Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse bought ages ago, but never mentioned it.
Yeah.
For the 360 because it was on offer and it came with the Statue of Trunks.
Oh, okay.
It should have been like 100 quid. It was 40 quid.
That's all right. Yeah. Why did you buy it in GameStop here in Denmark?
No, I bought it on Zavvi.
Oh, okay.
So it's the UK. It's gone to the UK. So continuing the Shonen Jump thing, I bought both Shonen Jump Superstar games for the DS.
Yeah.
Very cheap. That's J-Stars Plus and Superstars. J-Stars Plus is the one that I bought on the PS4.
Yeah.
I'm referring to Jump Superstars and Jump Ultimate Stars.
So you've just gone down a Shonen Jump rabbit hole.
I was looking at fighting games I didn't have, and I think it was the fact that I just got into Naruto. I wanted to play a game with Naruto in.
Yeah.
I bought those three Street Fighter games that were released on 3DS
for
download. It was buy two, get one free.
Okay.
So the games were Super Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and
Alpha.
Is it Alpha? Yeah.
I didn't realise Alpha was on the thing.
It was on the Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
Street Fighter Alpha, so you have two.
Yeah. Okay. That got that as well.
Not the best version of that game, though.
Ah, it plays pretty well. It's good to have it on the DS.
Yeah.
Lemming 3D for the PC, so I don't have it on the PC, and I found a cheap copy of it. Star Wars Battlefront for the DS, because I wanted the Star Wars game on the DS.
Yeah, did you pick that up here in Blue City?
I didn't, because it wasn't there last time. But I got it for the same price on eBay, so... Turtles Danger of the Ooze, which I bought today.
Yeah, you said this, and it's by WayForward, which I didn't know.
WayForward developed a 2D, but 3D rendered platform game.
Yeah.
Based on the Turtles animated series.
I wonder how good it is.
The obligatory training was okay, but it was obligatory training, and I in that type of game, I don't need to be told how to play the game. I'd rather learn how to
play
the game.
Bear in mind, young Thomas, this is a Turtles game that is not aimed at you. It is aimed at children.
But I think back in the day, a game like that wouldn't have forced that
it would not
training
have,
on you.
But, you know.
Anyway, so I've yet to really get stuck into it, but it looks promising at least. Lastly, picked up a US exclusive. Maybe it's released in Japan as well, I don't know. But it wasn't released in Europe. Downstream Panic. It's a Lemmings-like game.
That name rings a bell.
For the PSP, where you save fish from a shark.
That name really rings a bell. Downstream Panic.
I think. It looked good, and I heard it was like Lemmings.
Oh, yes, it is like Lemmings. Yes, I have heard of this thing, because I really like the cover.
Yeah, it's got a nice cover. It's published by Atari.
Yes. That looks pretty swish.
So that's winging its way to the UK for me. So when I go back in September, I've got plenty to check out. Also,
cool, man.
Finally got a Super Nintendo.
Yay!
Another Super Nintendo. I think it cost 50 quid with postage.
Yeah, that's all right. Cool and gang.
Yeah, it's a little bit discoloured, but other than that, it looks in good condition.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, you know, that's the thing you get with Super Nintendos, isn't it? They do tend to
go a little bit yellow.
Yeah. It came with a copy of Lemmings.
Did it really? Oh, fucking hell.
That was quite...
Was it boxed?
Funny. No, loose. Just a loose cart of Lemmings, yeah.
What, was that the only game with it?
Yeah.
Probably why it was meant for you, Tom.
Yeah,
meant
I suppose
for you.
So.
Yeah, okay, cool. I don't think I've really bought or played anything else. I've been obviously playing a lot of No Man's Sky. My opinion on that game has slightly changed, to be honest with you. But we're an hour and four into this podcast. I'm pretty hungry.
That's so a Gamescom special, at least.
Indeed.
So,
I will talk about my experience with No Man's Sky next week, because I don't think I'm very far off finishing it. Anyways.
Intriguing.
If you would like to listen to that podcast next week after listening to this one, and you're like, by golly gosh, that Tom and Matt, they're entertaining. You can find this podcast in a variety of places. You can go to blastprocess.com. You can go to tomandmattattack.com /podcast. You can also find us in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe?
You've said that now 100 and how many? What's this?
Shit, 30-something times.
Four.
Yeah, I know. It's a good long time.
You've pretty much kept that same spiel up since the very beginning.
I have, yeah. I could do it very fast at one point. Yeah. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, and also on Twitter at TMAcast. And if you did that, give us a little tweet and we'll say hello back.
That was one of your best ones for a while, that one. Your
Thank
best
you.
Spiels.
Yes, my best spiels.
Flawless.
Flawless spiel.
Well done.
Cool.
Spiel also means play in German.
It does, yeah, which... It's ironic, because I went to Gamescom in Germany. It's almost as if that may be the name of the podcast. Cool. If, yeah.
That's it, you've done
is,
it.
That is it. You don't need to find us anywhere. We are in your earbuds, infecting your senses. Like a mountain in springtime. Right, cool. On that note, I'm going to go eat curry. Yum, yum, yum. Game on.
Game on.